next cantor in the Lincoln Square Synagogue. Show and Gaffer. Actually, I was going to speak about this topic and wrote about this topic. And Ben Hasfaradim and Ben Ashkenazim know that there are niginot that are somehow part of our very bloodstream, that part of our very warp and woof. They're integrated into our entire persona. Whether it's the Nigin among the Ashkenazim, I can't really speak to the Sfaradim, and I'm sure you know as well as I do. In the Ashkenazic world, the Nigin for Kol Nidre and Leil Yom Kippurim is haunting, one that somehow literally creates a certain kind of atmosphere which is nothing short of being both, on the one hand, frightening, on the other hand, I would say awesome. And not just that particular tefillah, but there's a host of other tefillot. And when I was zochet to hear the davening of these balei tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, I was literally transformed, metamorphosed. And that probably had also a massive impact on my life. Almost as much as Harav Soloveitchik, or my other great luminaries and great rabbeim that I was zochet to learn from in the course of many years. So I want to talk a little bit about Rosh Hashanah, more specifically, and just to share with you an issue that's raised already by Gdolei Rishonim. I assume you're probably aware of this issue. I'll just mention briefly a number of paradoxes, and there are many paradoxes. There are so many, almost as if one cannot even resolve many of these paradoxical issues. And I'll just begin by referring to the Psukim, where the Torah tells us in the Parashat Ki Tavoh, it tells you the reason for the harshness of the punishment of the Tochacha is because Tachat Asher Lo Avadta Et Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha B'Tuv Leivav Merov Kol. I do not serve Hashem. From what perspective? With Simcha, with the proper joy. Now, even though there's a popular, I'm not so musically talented, even though I took an aptitude test when I was in high school, and I scored highest as a musician. So that tells you about aptitude tests. Or they call him Nibchanim Psychometrim. And I actually was a member of a choir till I became of bar mitzvah age, and somehow then my voice changed. And that was the end of my connection to a choir. I'll tell you about that choir, one of my famous stories that I always tell over, because I was an illiterate young man, didn't know much, and I was approximately 8 or 9 years old, a member of this choir, and we were taught to sing, and the chazan who taught us was also illiterate, so he was an illiterate person teaching illiterate young men. I was literally 8 years old, and he taught us the following mangina, which is the Hakdama to Ma'ariv. And I'll even sing it for you. He taught us that we sang along the following lines. And we answered, Yashchit. 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 What's the translation? We ask Hashem, have mercy. Don't destroy us. And what do we answer? Destroy. And the object was to repeat it many, many times. And we did. We probably repeated it at least 10 to 15 times. And I thought it was cute. I thought it was outstanding. I didn't have a clue what the word Yashchit meant. And this went on. And we were performing in a shul called, should I mention the name of the shul? Probably not. A shul in the Bronx. There's a borough in New York City called the Bronx. Allah Hashalom. I think it's being revived now. That's what they told me.
Open Orthodox.
What was that?
Open Orthodox.
Open Orthodox. Ma inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. The Bronx is open Orthodoxy?
That's the revival.
Really?
Yes.
They were all in the Bronx?
All
in the
Bronx.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Wow. I don't know if you caught a whiff of what was just said. Wow. Okay, I'm not going to say any further. It's on tape. Wow. Apparently, I knew a different Bronx. The Kitzur, so I performed in a synagogue, a very famous synagogue that had actually a balcony for a choir right above the Bima, and it was on Yom Tov night, Rosh Hashanah night. This is what we said. Yashchit. Rosh Hashanah night. We're asking Hashem to destroy it. The entire audience, there's a crowd of, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of people sitting in the audience below. No one says a word. So the answer was, we were illiterate. The Chazan was illiterate. They were illiterate. A crowd of illiterate people. Except, my father and mother, Aleihem HaShalom, came to hear me. My father was not illiterate. My father heard this the first time, and he told me later on, he thought maybe he didn't hear correctly. But after repeating it three or four times, my father realized he did hear it correctly. In order to get upstairs to that balcony, you had to go through these winding stairs. I don't know if you've ever seen those old homes. Actually, I remember that for Portland, Maine. Winding stairs. My father ran up the stairs. And after about the ninth time where we had sound Yashchit, and we were quite happy and singing it with glee and tremendous excitement, my father finally got to the top of the stairs and went over to the Chazan and smacked him across the face. Wow. I was shocked. Why did my father smack him? We just asked Hashem to destroy Klal Yisrael. And I didn't really know what I was saying. The Chazan, you can imagine, was also taken aback by the fact that my father slapped him. I happened to be living now in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and I davened a shul in the morning that the davening takes approximately, it begins with 5 to 7 and ends at 10 after 8. What in heaven's name are they doing over there? So that's why now I'm davening here a lot, Baruch Hashem. So here things seem to be a bit quicker. So when I go there, so there are a few people there in that shul that ask me, they discovered someone new, and one asked me, are you a rabbi? So I answered, it depends how you define the term rabbi. They said, you don't know what a rabbi means? I said, no. It was red face. They explained to a rabbi is a member of the clergy, and he does things. What kind of things does he do? I asked them. Well, he's familiar with, shall we say, Jewish learning. What's that? I said. Then the guy goes over to the next guy. He says, who is that fellow? He seems to be... had bats in the belfry. Somebody's missing a few screws or loose, etc., etc. Very fascinating shul. Anyway, I discovered in that shul that there are people who study the daily daf. And so I said, they asked me, would you mind helping us? I said, I don't learn the daily daf. I don't do that. That's not my thing. I don't do the daf yomi. So they said, but you clearly are probably someone who's learned it. I said, how do you know? You have a beard. Wow. That's a Raya Mufaka. So I said, take a look at this shul. Most of the shul are people with beards. Does that mean they're all learning? And as Mickey Mark Zatzal used to tell me, Lo hakom hakomea, v'lo ha'mi'il mo'il. There are people with tayish, yes, sir. So I translate that over here. Because you wear a black hat, does that automatically mean that you are what? A holy person? What's the answer? No. Because you wear a long coat, does that mean you're a holy person? No. Because you wear a beard and have a beard, does that mean you're a holy person? No. Even goats have beards. Anyway, they came to the conclusion that I have some knowledge. And so now they're literally hocking me at Chinik every single day on the Daf Yomi. So I decided, since the davening is from 5 to 7 till 10 after 8, I have at least a half hour till the Daf Yomi. So now, Rabbi Eichmann, I'm learning Daf Yomi every single day. I review the Gemara Rashi. I should consult you, Rabbi Yehuda, first, but you're not there. Anyway, how did I get into this? Correct. So my father gave him a patch, this Chazan, and he was beside himself. And then... so I'm reminded of this because of the Daf Yomi of today that I saw this morning. I think that's the Daf. Nun Chetam and Aleph in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, you patch another Jew? And I'm the best. Sorry. The Gemara says, you patch another Jew, that's not a good thing. The Gemara has a whole discussion about what the, shall we say, the consequences are. So my father patched this other Jew, this Chazan. Right? This Chazan couldn't understand why. So then my father explained to him, because you, essentially, are being mechanic my child, incorrectly, inappropriately. You're telling him to destroy the Jewish people. So then this Chazan said to my father, I'm a Chazan. I don't know what the words mean. Could you believe that? He's only a Chazan. His job is music. So the fact that the words have a certain kind of connotation about the shore and call yourself is irrelevant. That's what he told my father. Anyway, as I said, davening is one of the most powerful experiences that shaped and changed my life in many, many respects. So I just want to talk about this issue. So there's a niggun, I think it's a wrestler thing. I'm now surrounded by all types of interesting people. I moved to Ramat Beit Shemesh. And there you have a fascinating, eclectic group of people, Harav Dr. Appel, in the shul I davened. Wow, what a collection, what a motley crew. I don't want to get into the details right now. That's for another occasion. The shul I davened has three groups of people. One, BTs. Stand for? Bala Tshuva. Wow, Levakshi Hashem. Sincere people, unbelievable. Mind-boggling. Incredible sincerity. They daven there from 5 to 7 till 10 up to 8. Some of them even longer. A second group of people are Avreichim. People who are clearly Talmidei Chachamim, great Torah scholars, who are Avreichim, learning in the Kollel there in that particular shul. And the third people are retired Balabatim. I call them octogenarians. And every morning there's a machloket to put the air conditioner on, turn the air conditioner off, open the window, close the window. This is what I observe every day. Fascinating. Baruch Hashem. So one of them, I think he must be a wrestler, a chassid. He sings every day after davening. Chayav adam lios besimcha tamid. Mitzvah gedol lios besimcha tamid. So I asked him, where's that mitzvah written in the Torah? Lios besimcha tamid. So he looks at me. It says, what are you talking about? You don't agree that it's a mitzvah gedol lios besimcha tamid? I said, where does it say it's a mitzvah? Is it written in the Torah anywhere? Mitzvah gedol lios besimcha tamid? I'm not familiar with any pasuk like that. So he turns to the guy next to him and says, that fellow is an apikoros. Call me an apikoros. I'm an apikoros. Do I not agree that there's value in doing things besimcha? Of course I do. But what does it say? Rabbi Rich, you come from over there, the other side. Maybe you're familiar with the source of this pasuk. So I know this pasuk in Kisava that I started with. Tachas asher lo avatet Hashem Elokecha besimcha v'tu leivav. For sure, you have to do things besimcha. If you do things with joy, you'll be connected to it. You'll bond with it. There'll be ionic bonding in chemistry terms. No doubt, you'll feel a connection. There's no question about it. And the Torah tells us you have to serve Hashem with simcha and with love. And there are places where simcha is a precondition for a mitzvah. For example, why don't we say birchas kohanim in chutzaretz? Anyone know? With the exception of Sfardim, who like to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. Ashkenazim seem to have a different perspective. But anyway, so why is it that Ashkenazim do not perform the mitzvah birchas kohanim in chutzaretz? The answer is because in chutzaretz, kohanim are not in the state of what? Of simcha. Why not? So the Rambam says, because tudin de panasatam u'michyatam. In chutzaretz, everyone is very preoccupied with making a living. The Ashkenazim, the Sfaradim have no problem. But the Ashkenazim have a problem making a living, and they're not with simcha. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, we have no problems with panasa. Here it's chick-chock. Simple. No problem. My father Shaul was always very bothered by that Rambam. But anyway, so that is a condition for fulfilling a mitzvah. Or, for example, regarding the mitzvah of Maaseh Sheni, the Torah says, "La'achalti be'oni mimenu," that an onei, someone who just lost a close relative and did not yet bury that relative, he's not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni and kachim, because in order to eat Maaseh Sheni and kachim, you have to be in a state of joy. You have to be in the Seder Simcha. That's a condition that is clearly found. And there's no doubt that if you perform a mitzvah with Simcha, you have a strong bond with Hashem. However, there's no mitzvah. So even though we sing mitzvah gedol olios besimcha tamid, I don't sing that, Rabbi Apfel, because it's David Shkolik. Don't mind me, Rabbi Rich. He comes from Chutz Laaretz. Baruch Hashem. Zachino. Anyway, even they used to sing in Chutz Laaretz when I was there. Anyone sing that before Sfiras HaOmer? Anybody here? Anybody do Sfiras HaOmer? So I would agree to sing it, but I say, my nusach is, otherwise it's a sheker. Why would one say sheker? Sheker meaning? Okay, thank you. Anyway, all this is my way of hakdama to what I want to talk about. Because I was told first I have to say a milsa de dichasa before I get to my main, shall we say, commentary. What I wanted to talk about was the Rosh Hashanah experience, which to me, as I said, one of the most powerful experiences in my life. So one of the paradoxes that Rosh Hashanah Rebbe has very trouble with, is there a mitzvah simcha in Rosh Hashanah? What would you say of him?
Yeah.
Yes. How do you know?
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday. Excellent. He's quoting Gemara in Erechin. So the Gemara says in Erechin, exactly as you pointed out, that it's among the Moedim. The Gemara is discussing the issue of Hallel. The Gemara says that basically since it's a Moed, why don't you say Hallel? At the end, the Maskan the Gemara is over there in Rosh Hashanah and a few other places. We don't say Hallel Rosh Hashanah. Why not? No, you're on a roll. Okay, the reason is because Sifrei Chayim and Sifrei Meitim Tuchim Lefanad Atem Romim Shira. You have the life, the books of life and death open up before Hashem, and you're going to now start singing. But the Gemara assumes that it's annoyed, as you indicated correctly. However, the mitzvah of Simcha, as you know, the Torah specifically and probably accentuates the mitzvah of Simcha with reference to one chag. Which chag is that? All the chagim have a din of Simcha. The Gemara says, Hukshu Kol Amadim Zelazet. But one specifically has a over an abundance of joy, which we have to be learning in Masechta this year, otherwise I wouldn't even bother you. What Masechta are we learning? Wow, you noticed. Outstanding. So, the mitzvah of Simcha Dafka, the Torah mentions in the context of Sukkah more than any other, shall we say, Chag, and Hukshu Kol Amadim Zelazeh. However, is the mitzvah of Simcha found in reference to Rosh Hashanah in Chumash? What would you say? Is Rosh Hashanah one of the Shalosh Regalim? Shalosh Regalim.
Oh, no.
Right. It's not. That's correct. You're 100% right. It's not one of the Shalosh Regalim. And one would therefore assume the mitzvah Simcha is not applicable to the end of the Rosh Hashanah. This is a discussion in Rishonim at the end of Masechta Rosh Hashanah, whether we say V'hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu, that paragraph that deals with Simcha. But we know, for example, regarding Avelut, the Gemara in Leikotin has a machlok Tanoim about this, but we pass the Halacha. What's the din? If Yom Tov and Avelut converge, or if they clash, so what's the din? If a person becomes an Avel, God forbid, a mourner before Yom Tov, what's the Halacha? Yom Tov comes and wipes out the Avelut. Correct? The Gemara says in Leikotin, Asi Asei the Rabbim, V'dochi Asei the Yochim. Asei the Rabbim, V'samachta V'chagecha, overrides the din of Avelut. Rashi quotes the Pasuk Yemiyo, Avel Yochid Asilach. What about Rosh Hashanah? Does Rosh Hashanah wipe out Avelut? The answer is, Halacha L'maaseh, yes. That's an indication there must be some element of Simcha. But, on the other hand, we know there are, as Salvezi used to point out, there are three genres of begadim that we are familiar with. There are Bigdei Chol, garments that a person wears during the week. Bigdei Shabbat, which by the way, don't have to necessarily be qualitatively superior to the garments that one wears during the week, because the Gemara says that if I only have one set of garments, a toga, you shall shel begadah. The Gemara called Kisveh, it's called Halacha Shabbat, the Rabbis of the Diet, from the language of the Rambam, that the begadim on Shabbos have to be moved alim, different, set apart. So which begadim are qualitatively superior? Not Bigdei Chol, not Bigdei Shabbat, but rather Bigdei Chag. Bigdei Chag, Bigdei Yom Tov are qualitatively superior. Comes the poskim, and they say regarding Rosh Hashanah, that even though normally people used to wear begadim of meshi, used to wear begadim of silk, one should not wear begadim of silk on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Because of Eimat Hadin. Because of the fear of judgment that Hashem is going to judge us. So we see there are many elements, and these are just not even, shall we say, a speck. There are many paradoxes with this issue of Rosh Hashanah. So how do you reconcile all these conflicting desiderata? Is there a mitzvah simcha? Is there no mitzvah simcha? And of course, what's the classic brisk answer to everything? Tzvei dinim. Everything is tzvei dinim. Kol HaTorah Kula is one dialectic. Everything is essentially a duality. And here the duality is very clear. For those who learned bracha last year, you remember that the pasuk that the Gemara quotes in the context of tefillah, gilu birada. What does that mean? Gila, what does gila mean? Gila, rina, ditsa, v'cheba, what's gila? Joy. Birada, what's rada? Fear. How is it possible to have joy and fear at the same time? The answer is you have to be a brisker. So if you're not a brisker, you won't understand it. But if you're a brisker, then you have a chance. So that's why you came to this yeshiva. Hopefully to become briskers. Years ago, Rabbi Apfel, when I first heard the term brisk, and maybe I was in third grade. I had a brisker as a rebbe in the third grade. He learned by brisker love. So I thought he was talking about Rabbi Reichman brisket. I didn't know what brisk is and brisker. I thought he was talking about brisket, a piece of meat, which is certainly a very tasty piece of meat, very succulent. And then I discovered he apparently had something else in mind. And that was my introduction to brisk in grade 3. Baruch Hashem. Chaval, I wasn't introduced in Gan, or Trom Gan. So I lost out. So this duality is something which is very endemic to Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, the fact that one is able to approach Hashem is something which is the greatest simcha that a person could have, is being in the presence of Hashem. That's why our Soloveitchik, Zatzal, always defined simcha. Lifnei Hashem. On the other hand, there's the element of din. So I just want to share with you a famous comment which you may or may not be familiar with. But it's a Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis. Rav Soloveitchik referred to this Rambam a number of times in the name of his uncle, the Bris Golov. The Rambam writes a Pirsha Mishnayis. Why don't we say Hallel and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Says the Rambam. Lefi Shehem Yemei Avodah V'Hachna'a U'Pachad U'Morami Hashem. Because those days are full of fear. V'yirami menu, we're frightened of Hashem. And then the Rambam says, U'mivrach U'manos Elav. So where do we run when we're frightened? We run to Hashem. Of course, you have obviously, clearly a problem over here. On the one hand, we're frightened. We're absolutely in a catatonic state. We're literally congealed. And yet, U'mivrach U'manos Elav. How do you explain that conflict? So I'll explain it to you. When I sat at Rabbi Soloveitchik's shir, you know what the tone, you know how I felt? You know how I felt? Fear. Pachad. Mora rabo kemora shamayim. I was frightened out of my wits. A number of times, there was a period of time where I was called on to read the Gemara Reichman for 6 months straight. So I learned basmoda shame kamo. I cut all my college classes, didn't go to any college class. Because I was worried about being prepared properly. Those are the 6 months, the best 6 months of learning in my entire life. And did it help me, Rabbi Reichman? Not really. He would call on me, the Rav and Shia, to read, and I would say something, and then he would respond with a very favorable kind of comment. I'm just speaking Lashon Saginor. Anyway, so once I said something apparently intelligent, and Rav Soloveitchik said, "What happened today? You have a brain." So that was a big compliment. But in general, it was a sense of pachad and meira, but that pachad led to what? Wanting to become closer and closer to Rav Soloveitchik. Lahabdil me'alf alfei abdolus, the Rambam writes here, I'm frightened of Hashem Yisbarach, but I realize my only refuge is where? Dafka with Hashem Yisbarach. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's a combination of this unbelievable duality. On the one hand, a sense of pachad, a sense of ema, a sense of dread. But on the other hand, the recognition that the only makom miflot, The only makom bevutach that I could find is dafka with whom? With Hashem Yisbarach. Someone showed me this morning, actually, also in the same shul that I davened in, but I didn't daven there this morning. You may have noticed, for those who are in the minyan here. You know how long it took me to get here, Rabbi Atfeld, this morning? 36 minutes. I came at 6 o'clock in the morning. There was no problem. Except when I arrived here, there was no one here. There were one or two people here in the base. And then I found the mashgiach upstairs, locked in the office. And when I come here on a regular day, it takes me sometimes 50 minutes, 5-0. I don't drive the way the Hasa'ah drives. They drive l'malam v'namokam, l'malam v'azman. They don't drive on roads, they drive al kanfin hasharon. They're on the pinions of eagles, like they tell the other son of the zeal, because of Yerushalmi, that night they were wafted from Yerushalayim to Mitzrayim to bring the Korban Pesach, al kanfin hasharon. That's how they drive. But I drive on four wheels, on terra firma, on the ground. I have a different concept of driving than they do. Anyway, this notion, someone showed me early, what went on with the Hurricane Irma, over there in Florida. No one should know of any tzara. And Baruch Hashem, the hurricane was not as, even though unfortunately and tragically there were people that were killed, and a lot of damage that was actually caused. So Chazal tell us, anytime something of this magnitude occurs, it's essentially the kind of warning that Hashem is sending us. It's hard for us to understand that. It's hard for us to connect. I once asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, during the years of the Vietnam War, the Gemara says in Yevamos, "Ein lochem above the elan of the Shul Yisrael." We are the ones responsible for all the wars. So I asked the Rav, what's the connection between Avishai David and the war in Vietnam? Aside from the fact that a few years later, I was actually about to be drafted to Vietnam. And all of a sudden I became, guess what, Rabbi Atfeld? A 4D student. He was a biology major. And all of a sudden I became a clergyman in order to escape going to the boondocks. Anyway, how much more time do I have? Eglu Dvarim Sheilem Shia. So Rosh Hashanah experience is one that I look forward to every year. I look forward to the powerful Nigunim. I look forward to the davening. I'm frightened of what's going to be. On the other hand, I put myself in Hashem's hands, and I know that's the only escape, that's the only refuge I can possibly, the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, hopefully look forward to. I remember years ago there was an insurance company called Allstate. They still have that same advertisement, "You're safe." How does it go? "You're in good hands with Allstate." I remember a few jingles, that's one of them I remember. Unfortunately, I didn't grow up with TV. The TV was broken. My parents refused to fix it. And I was quite upset with them. But instead, my father thought it would be better to learn Tanakh or Mishnayos or Masechtas and Shas. Even though I never went to yeshiva in his life. So that's what we did. Unfortunately for me. You would say it's unfortunate. Would you not say that? Yes. So, Rosh Hashanah is a powerful experience. Yom Kippur as well. You should really look forward to this opportunity. And davening in yeshiva, I heard, I'm not bezocha to daven here, although it's possible I may come here on Yom Kippur, but shamati, the davening here is absolutely out of this world. I heard this from Harav Yudin Shlita, and he's the Baal Tokea. Chaval, I'm not coming on Rosh Hashanah to hear your Tkiya Shofar. The opportunity to daven and to be in a Rosh Hashanah environment in yeshiva, there's nothing comparable to it. I remember from my days in Yeshivat Itri, 71, 72, wow, the davening went right through my bones. Literally, out of Yom Hazeh, I come to Rosh Hashanah and I hear those nigunim, I start shaking. I'm literally shaking. But I know I'm in good hands with Allstate. Allstate being Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Yisbarach. Halavai, we should be able to take both of these aspects. Ibnas Hashem B'Simcha, Gila B'Rada, and the entire Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur experience should be Habalin L'Tova, one of tremendous Simcha and tremendous Nachas. That we're coming close to Hashem Yisbarach, closer and closer and closer, Be'ez Hashem, Benesach Netzach.
Thank you.
The Rav had a whole shtickle table.
Yeah. Thank you. Wait, what did Rabbi Soloveitchik say?
So he explained to me that...